And we're back. We've tried opening this show about five times already, but we're here.
Botched. I've just Mike, everyone.
Oscar. Welcome. This is our Golden Globe nomination review. We're in the full throes of award season. We're here. We made it.
Yeah, I mean, fire the starter pistol.
That's
right. We are starting the Oscars sprint, man. Here it comes.
It's finally time. So the biggest of all the precursor award shows is the Golden Globes, as everyone knows. Critics' Choice nominees were also recently announced. We've had a lot of film festivals, a lot of the film critics associations, New York, Boston, Chicago, LA, all giving out their awards. And now finally, we have the Golden Globes nominees for us to recap in this episode. So that's what we're going to bring to you.
Yeah, I mean, just a shout out. Last episode, we did kind of review of New York, LA, AFI, and the Critics' Choice. So at the end of our Hollywood Hot Takes, which was a lot of fun to record, check out that the precursor for this baby.
Getting the ball rolling. We're trying to cover. I mean, our objective in these in this award season is to inform you, first and foremost, of what movies you should and should not see, what you can prepare yourself for come Oscar night, because that's our big event. That's what we kind of centered this whole podcast system around, and what we want to do to you is make it as important and mean as much as it can, so you're not just sitting there watching Hugh Jackman sing for 20 minutes.
Yeah, and we say that with a grain of salt. I mean, this could take a breather from your actual life, from the actual news that's so heavy these days. So take a breather. You know, reality does suck.
Yeah.
Do watch some movies with
us. It's not just a slogan.
Listen to us to talk about movies at the very least when you're on the elliptical or just relaxing. Drive to work, drive home, during the workday for all you know, we care.
So yeah. I mean, your boss won't mind. Your boss is a fan too. It's fine.
We're getting safer for work.
We're trying.
We're totally safe.
Like we say at the end of every episode, or beginning of every episode, we want to hear from you guys. That's first and foremost, and that's what's important. I'm going to read off some comments like we always say we promise to. And you guys have been getting at us. A ton of likes on our page. A couple of comments have been coming by. We think we're getting at least going in the right direction. We've been at it for a couple months now. We really appreciate any support and love that you guys have been sending our ways.
Early days, but yeah, I mean, we're excited to see some numbers, and it's fun.
Taylor Saywell gave us an exploding emoji, the bicep emoji, and the okay emoji. So that's, I think that's a sext.
Right. I'm like, was he aroused?
We appreciate that. Yes. Jim Chan, NYC. That's amazing, with a big smiley face. Always love those short and sweet ones because they sound best on the air. I am Hitesh Lalwani. My apologies if I mispronounced that. I parodying The Godfather on one of our posts. I'm making an offer we can't refuse.
Sure.
That was my brand.
Without the orange rind in your gums there. That's pretty good.
That's right. And one more, red carpet, green dress, telling us that they love it with an exclamation point. So, I mean, like we said, guys, seriously, any kind that you take out of your workday to show us some love, we really appreciate it. That's why we're doing it. You want to get in contact with us? You want to tell us something we don't know? You want to tell us something that you think we should cover? Mike, and Oscar on Facebook. Mike, and Oscar on Instagram. We are MMO_pod on Twitter. Mike, and Oscar on gmail.com. We try to update those social media sites every day. One of us is going to be at the helm trying to respond to you. I know I've personally been on the Twitter handle and traded comments to a couple people about some things about the show. So keep that up. We love hearing from you guys. And
talk to us.
Yeah, that's why we're here. And also why we're
somebody
here.
Somebody talk to us.
But that's why, you know, we want award season to mean something to you and take a break from your reality, as Mike said. So big part of that is the Golden Globes. As we said, their nominations just came out this past Monday on the 11th. They announced their nominations for their annual show. Hollywood's second biggest night, some say.
Early this morning.
If the Oscars is the stuffiness of the tuxedo party, the Golden Globes is where they go to get taken down a peg or two, usually by the host.
Yeah, I mean, alcohol is served.
It is. It is, in fact, served there. Yes.
Ricky Gervais is often a host.
I believe he's banned now.
Roasting everybody.
Yeah. So this
Who's the host this year?
Seth Meyers is going to be the host, and catching a lot of flack for that online. People say that, you know, they needed a big feministic voice for all the sexual harassment stuff going on in Hollywood, so they picked another white man. Good job there. But no, Seth Meyers is the host for this year's Golden Globe Awards. We're going to get into the nominees. We can touch on, obviously, the Golden Globes cover both film and television. They're kind of an amalgamation of both the Emmys and the Oscars, that nice sweet spot in the middle. So we'll get into that, but I just remember that we have to talk about why we sound a little different.
Yeah, man. Some new equipment.
We have actual, like, stuff. We have lights blinking.
I won't talk any gooder, but I'll sound a little better.
Yeah, you won't have to turn down your volume in your car if I yell at Mike over a cat video or something again, or a cat movie.
It won't sound like your eardrum just popped.
Yeah, hopefully, anyway.
If Mike bangs the table.
Yeah, we poured a little money into this production here. We're getting all professional-like, so we got a couple...
like is the key word there.
Some audio equipment to make us sound a little better, so we hope you appreciate it, and I'm sure your eardrums...
Not that it helps, but we look a lot cooler. Yeah, I mean, I got, right. like, multiple stands,
yeah.
and this cool-looking mic and filters, and... pretty wild,
and I don't have to stare at him anymore because I can just look directly
straight. I can only
straight.
See his eyes. It's been the creepiest recording session
I
yet.
I just lick my lips like LL Cool J the whole time.
His eyes are smiling, but I don't know what just, his mouth is
just
doing.
Just a dead gaze.
Said the man to the other man.
Right. So I'm glad we covered that. Golden Globes, as we said, they're an amalgamation of both the Emmys and the Oscars. We can touch on the TV stuff to get us started if you wanted to hear about that. What do we have in the television section of the Golden Globes?
Yeah, Big Little Lies led the nominations with 6, Feud, Betty and Joan with 4, Fargo, Handmaid's Tale, This Is Us with 3, Blackish, Schmilf, like Schmedium, Stranger Things, Master of None, The Crown, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, The Sinner, The Wizard of Lies, which included some of the best performances on the year,
yeah,
movies or
that.
TV, and Will and Grace all had 2 nominees. Some highlights, Best Drama, The Crown, Game of Thrones, Handmaid's Tale, Stranger Things, This Is Us. Very strange to compare Game of Thrones and Stranger Things. It's very weird to...
Or This Is Us, you know?
Yeah, so that's a bizarre category. Blackish, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Master of None, Smilf, Will and Grace for Best Musical or Comedy. You know, some highlights from actor-actress Jason Bateman for Ozark. Golden Globes, typically, they like a lot of debut shows in their nominee lists, different from the Emmys in a way. Maggie Gyllenhaal for The Deuce was the Best Actress nominee, and as well as Katherine Langford for 13 Reasons Why. I guess Handmaid's Tale, this is the first year in
for
the
Globes consideration.
The Globes consideration.
Right, yeah,
so that's 3
up at the Emmys.
Yeah, 3 out of 5 new shows there.
If the Emmys were anything to go by, it's The Handmaid's Tale and it's Big Little Lies. Those were the 2 big ones back in September when the Emmys took place.
Right.
So.
Kevin Bacon for I Love Dick in there for
funny show.
Best
I'm a big Catherine
comedy.
Hahn fan, so.
Yeah, I mean Aziz Ansari, Alison Brie, Issa Rae. It was interesting to see them nominated. Robert De Niro. For The Wizard of Lies.
Wizard of Lies, if you've heard us talk about on the Netflix pod, I think we alluded to it, even though it's not a Netflix show. Mike was really high on the performances in that movie, Michelle Pfeiffer, Robert De Niro.
Big Little Lies had a bunch, both Betty and Joan from Betty and Joan, and Best Performance in a Miniseries or Television Film in terms of the Best Actress. Jessica Biel is involved with The Sinner in that category.
Got a lot of critical acclaim, that Sinner show.
I haven't watched it. I'm a little behind in my TV watching because we've been watching so many movies. But, yeah, I mean, Stranger Things, Twin Peaks is Kyle MacLachlan as Dale Cooper is involved in a Best Performance in a Miniseries.
Twin Peaks,
there.
Oddly enough, not a movie.
Not a movie and
I
not
think,
in
like,
the Best.
I think that the Golden Globe nomination here, where it's a TV show, kind of ends the book on that one.
Yeah.
Had a big debate of our last episode whether Twin Peaks was a movie or not in our Hollywood Hot Takes. Go check that
check
out.
Check it out. Big Little Lies, Fargo. Big Little Lies, Fargo, Feud, Betty and Joan, The Sinner, Top of the Lake, China Girl, Best Miniseries or Television Film. So something to take a look at. It was nice to see the Stranger Things cop, David Arbor, last second.
He's becoming a hot name in Hollywood right now. He's going to be the new Hellboy. He's got the nominee for the Golden Globe there with Stranger Things. He's
yeah, so,
being a big name.
A few more last second additions to my mentions here. Christian Slater, Mr. Robot, David Thewlis, Fargo, both performances I happen to love. Like I said, Michelle Pfeiffer, everybody in Big Little Lies, great performances. I have some quibbles with the show itself, even though I enjoyed it to a degree. But yeah, that's the TV section.
So that's, you know, we wanted to touch on that. Obviously, it's half the show of the Golden Globe, so we couldn't ignore it. But true to form, while we're here, we're getting...
We're about the pictures, see?
We're getting you ready for Oscar season. So this is where we are as far as the Golden Globe nominees for movies and Tinseltown and all its glory. It's Hollywood's drunkest night.
People like to get soused.
So we'll have Mike read off the list of nominees by movie, how many nominees they were in the Golden Globes. I will tell you that Shape of Water Just like they were the big Critics' Choice nominee leader, they are also the Golden Globes leader. They have 7. Mike, what other movies do we have in the nomination category for movies?
With 2 with 6. The Post and 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, 6 nominations apiece there. Lady Bird had 4. All the Money in the World, Call Me by Your Name, Dunkirk, The Greatest Showman, and I, Tonya all had 3. Battle of the Sexes, Coco, The Disaster Artist, Ferdinand, Get Out, Molly's Game, Mudbound, Phantom Thread all had 2 nominations.
You know what you didn't hear in that list?
The Big Sick.
My highest rated movie. We're back in episode 1 up to the summer.
Shut out. We're going
to
have a lot of snub talk about The Big Sick.
We're
going
to touch on it. Big Sick, not nominated for any Golden Globes, which hurt me personally. But let's get into it. We'll go category by category. We want to give you the breakdown. We'll list off the nominees. We're going to tell you a little thing or two that Mike and I find interesting, and that's what we'll be doing in this whole episode. So this is the 2017 Golden Globes Nominations Reaction Show by Mike, Mike, and Oscar, as only we can do it. And we start with Best Original Song in a Motion Picture. Nominees are Home by in Ferdinand, Mighty River in Mudbound, the performance song by Mary J. Blige, Remember Me in Coco, lyrics by Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez, The Star from The Star, oddly enough, lyrics by Mariah Carey and Mark Shaiman, This Is Me from The Greatest Showman, music and lyrics by Benj Pasek and Justin Paul.
And this is where I give no reaction to that category.
And that's the nominees
this is
the for
reaction
the song.
Show. We lead off with no reaction. Just give it. Now, this is not our bag, baby, if I could say that in a statement.
We couldn't carry a tune if we had a satchel.
No, I sound like a dying animal. So I don't want to, reply on the original song. But score, on the other hand.
That's where we'll go next. Best original score for motion picture. We have Carter Burwell for 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Alexandra Desplat for Shape of Water. I'm sure I murdered that name.
De
Plot.
De Play. Yeah.
Johnny Greenwood for Phantom Thread. John Williams for The Post. And Hans Zimmer for Dunkirk. How about John Williams and Hans Zimmer going head to head?
They got
to
win, right? Yeah. I mean, listen, we've weighed in on the Dunkirk score already. It is a great score for what it needs to do. We've talked about it in episode number 1.
I stole Mike's joke about
There's
it in episode number 1.
Big thing about that, those fisticuffs. But listen, I enjoy, maybe I'm a weirdo, but once in a while I'm working, play something on my Spotify, just listen to a score. Like the Fountain soundtrack, if I'm going to stroke my beard that isn't there. The Fountain soundtrack is one of those. There's a lot of scores, I should say.
Yeah.
Original scores that are listenable. Like Man of Steel. Like if you want a really good score to just get pumped up over. Man of Steel strings you along for a long time for that big payoff. I'm sounding like a total nerd here.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, yeah.
I really enjoy the comic book theme for Superman that movie. But yeah, I mean, like we said a couple episodes ago, Spotlight had a really unique score to it. So, the Dunkirk is a ticking clock, essentially. I don't know if that's great to listen to while you're working, unless you're, like, defusing a bomb.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you're on the edge of your seat with that one. But I think a score is kind of a thankless aspect of the film, because you definitely notice it if it's screwed up. But if it's great, it can go by without you really even realizing it's happening. Something like Dunkirk, I think we both agree, kind of stood out because there was so little dialogue that the score almost had to be the speech in that movie, which is a unique.
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh's Scottish Brogue.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, Blade Runner 2049 was impactful on the IMAX. I was a little upset that didn't get a score nomination. Wonder Woman's score goes back to Batman versus Superman when that character was introduced. That's a really cool sounding score. And yeah, John Williams, nominated for The Post, you said, is not nominated for Star Wars. It's like LeBron not getting nominated for MVP or Michael Jordan not getting nominated for MVP back in the day. It's almost strange.
It's odd.
It's already been awarded that thing, but that theme.
But the Globes has a history of this. They nominated Alicia Vikander for her supporting role in Ex Machina for the year she won the supporting actress Oscar for The Danish Girl.
Right.
So it's, the Globes, they take right nominee, not the right winner for the Oscars in comparative safe, but we'll move on to one of the biggies of the night, one of the big 6. You always hear about the big 6 or big 7 as far as Oscars go. This is one of them. Best Screenplay Motion Picture. We have Guillermo del Toro and Vanessa Taylor for Shape of Water, Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird, Liz Hanna and Josh Singer for The Post, Martin McDonough, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and Aaron Sorkin for Molly's Game. What do we have?
So, yeah, I mean, three women in there. Four of those five movies are original screenplays. So this is one of the rare categories that the Globes only talk five screenplays. They combine adapted and original.
It's like the opposite of what they do with the acting categories.
Correct. It's the total opposite. So we really can't. It's more competitive for the Globes, and we can't really draw parallels to the Oscars in many cases, but you will have four of those five be considered for original screenplays when it comes to the Oscars. Feinberg currently has The Big Sick and Get Out in place of Shape of Water. And then Feinberg has so Big Sick, Get Out, Lady Bird, The Post, Three Billboards are his top five.
Like I said, Critics' Choice and Golden Globes, all about The Shape of Water, whereas the experts kind of leading up to this seem to didn't give it that much deference or reverence, but who's to say? Aaron Sorkin getting on the board for his fifth Globe screenplay nomination.
Glad to see that. I'm a big fan.
Fifth in the last 10 years, too. He's becoming making a comeback.
Big fan.
Yeah.
You know, for adapted, Feinberg has Molly's Game, Mudbound, Disaster Artist, Call Me By Your Name, and Wonder. Go figure. Wonder is one of those five.
I can see Wonder sneaking in with
you. Got like, honestly, you got like 10 great or huge contenders in the original screenplay category, and there's like soft contenders, and except for Call Me By Your Name, in the adapted category. So it's
How about the names that aren't here, though? You know, I mean, like you said, it's a very exclusive list. There's only five, whereas you're going to get five for adapted and five for original. But Dunkirk, not on here. Big Sick, not nominated. Baby Driver, not nominated. Get Out, which won the LA Film Critics Association and the New York Film Critics Online
Best
screenplay, not nominated. Phantom Thread, the New York Film Critics Circle Award winner,
right.
Not nominated.
I was surprised Phantom Thread, they didn't go for that.
Get Out is on every Gold Derby Critics top five list except for one guy who hasn't updated his page since October 10th.
Wow.
And it's not nominated for, I mean, that's, whew. Yeah, you got the woman, it's the misogynistic
upsetting
part down. You don't have the racial part down, it seems. So.
Yeah, but it's just an unbelievable balancing act he pulls
it's
off
tough.
In that
it's
screenplay.
Tough, yeah.
It's just a great, it's a great story.
Moving on there, the best performance by an actor in a supporting role in any motion picture. So like Mike just alluded to, the supporting categories, there's only one category for each. But
right.
When we get to the lead actor, actress, we're going to have two categories for each. Supporting, it's more exclusive. Only five nominees for supporting actor, five nominees for supporting actress. The supporting actor nominees for the Golden Globes are Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project, Armie Hammer for Call Me By Your Name, Richard Jenkins for The Shape of Water, Christopher Plummer for All the Money in the World, and Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
So Christopher Plummer is the shocker there.
It makes you wonder, did he earn this, or is he getting the nod for his quick work in replacement of Kevin Spacey?
And the winner
is not
Kevin Spacey.
Exactly. You know, I mean, that's good. Obviously, All the Money in the World is going to debut around Christmas time. We're going to be on the lookout for our Oscar Sprint episode regarding that. Ooh, man.
Yeah, I mean, snubs galore here. Woody Harrelson, Stahlberg for Call Me By Your Name, Ray Romano, Rylance, you know, Romano, Stahlberg are right up there in Feinberg's list. So let's look at, this is a direct parallel you can draw between Oscars and Golden Globes. So let's look at the last 5 years. In 2012, 4 out of 5. 2013, 4 out of 5. 2014 was the same translation from Golden Globes to the Oscars. The same
five
nominees.
Five.
J.K. Simmons won it. 2015, Stallone won the Globe, but only 2 out of 5, including Mark Rylance, who eventually won the Oscar, were nominated.
It was an upset on Oscars.
You're right. They're nominated
was
in
the
common.
Big favorite.
And then in 2016, last year, Aaron Taylor-Johnson won it for Nocturnal Animals, was not even nominated for the Oscars. Only 3 out of 5 nominees in common there, Oscars and Globes. So take it with somewhat of a grain of salt, although this category, as you go back, the parallels are closer from Oscars to Globes. So interesting.
Willem Dafoe nominated here would seem like the front runner. He's in every Gold Derby top five list for Best Supporting Actor. He also won the New York Film Critics Circle Awards, the LA Film Critics Association Award, New York Film Critics Online Award, Boston Screen Film Critics Award Show, nominated in the Chicago Film Critics Awards as well. So he's all over this category, you would think.
You would think he's a front runner. Yeah, we'll see, though. I still think Sam Rockwell's performance is just audacious, and it's going to be something to reckon with at some point.
Definitely one of the more interesting categories to keep an eye on.
So yeah, Best Supporting Actress, Mary J. Blige for Mudbound, Hong Chow for Downsizing, Allison Janney for I, Tonya, Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird, and Octavia Spencer for The Shape of Water. What do you got, Mike?
I have in all capital letters in my notes, where is Holly Hunter upsetting. For The Big Sick? Good God, she was my highest graded supporting actress performance so far. And man, oh man, I think it's highway robbery she's not nominated.
I thought Tiffany Haddish was going to get a nod as well. She's been getting a ton of publicity for the Girls Trip performance there.
Would have thought so as well. I believe she just took home the New York Film Critics Circle Award.
Yep.
We'll go back as far as Mike showed you the history for supporting actors and their correlation to the Golden Globes nominations versus Oscar noms. We'll do the same here for supporting actresses, the supporting actress nominations that were also Oscar noms. 2016, Globes were perfect. Same five. As Mike had 5 for 5, Viola Davis won the Globe. Viola Davis won the Oscar for Fences.
Mm-hmm.
Again, was she a supporting actress at all in that film is up for debate, but that's the category
we
that
don't
she
think
was
so, or I don't
on.
Think so.
Right.
Yeah.
I speak for us both there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2015, Globes went 2 for 5 as far as Oscar noms went. It included Oscar winner Alicia Vikander, was nominated for the Globe, like we said, but was nominated for Ex Machina. She ended up winning the Oscar and supporting actress for her work in The Danish Girl. 2014, the Globes were 4 for 5 as far as with what the Oscars picked for Best Supporting Actress. Jessica Chastain was nominated in the Golden Globe for A Violent Year, whereas Laura Dern took that spot in Wild, for the movie Wild at the Oscars.
Playing Reese Witherspoon's mama.
2013, the Globes were 5 for 5. However, Jennifer Lawrence won the Golden Globe for her work in American Hustle, ended up losing the Oscar race to Lupita Nyong'o for 12 years,
Every
white
so.
Person is racist.
Well, then again, Jennifer Lawrence in American Hustle was very,
she was
very good.
Phenomenal
she
in
was
American
very
Hustle.
Good in that.
But
yeah,
Lupita
that was,
Nyong'o was equally,
oh,
if not
she's
better.
Out of
yeah.
this world in 12 Years a Slave.
Unbelievable.
Man, just absurd. Yeah, one of those all timers.
Yeah, to have those two go against each other. That might be a future podcast, as a matter of fact.
Interesting, yeah.
2012, we'll go 5 years back. 2012, there were 4 for 5, but Nicole Kidman was nominated for The Paperboy at the Golden Globes, whereas Jackie Weaver got her nomination for Silver Linings Playbook at the Oscars, which is a performance we reviewed. We do the 2012 Best
Supporting Actor
supporting
with De Niro. Yeah, we
yeah.
talk about
we'll talk
Weaver.
About Jackie Weaver's performance
we'll talk about Weaver again in the Disaster Artist review coming out soon.
Yeah, yeah. Keep an eye out for that. And by soon, we mean like right now. No, it'll be...
Click here, then click there.
Just a couple of notes on the category. I said in our last episode, the Hollywood Hot Takes, discussing the LA Film Critics Awards and New York Film Circle, the category seemed like a Holly Hunter, Laurie Metcalf, Mary J. Blige triumvirate.
Yeah, they seem
there's
to
no,
be strong.
Yeah, there's no
contenders.
Hunter. You know, there's no Hunter, but Metcalf is there. Blige is there.
I think Metcalf's a nominee in any year. I mean, her performance is that
too.
Strong.
And Chow has been coming on strong. You've been seeing her name pop up a little more.
It's fun to watch. This has been a crazy race because Hong Chow was in every single person's list going back 6 months, and she fell off. She fell out of everybody's list, and now she's back.
Now she's back. And you could, I mean, it is. This is a crazy year for awards because you could say the same, like you said, about Woody Harrelson for the supporting actor role. He was everywhere on Gold Derby,
right.
And now he's not even there. We'll go now to the Best Motion Picture Foreign Language. We have A Fantastic Woman nominated out of Chile. First, They Killed My Father, which you can hear our review on in the Netflix Year in Review. I believe it's episode 9 for us. You can go back and check that out. It's a Angelina Jolie product. The submission out of Cambodia. In the Fade, coming out of Germany and France. Loveless, out of Russia. And The Square, being a product of Sweden, Germany, and France.
So this is an interesting category. Over the years, the Hollywood Foreign Press, their nominated 5 has been very different from the Oscar 5 at the end of the day. I don't know if that is because you have the American moviegoer, essentially. Obviously, the American movie maker, which is the Academy. They all make movies. They're voting for Best Foreign Film versus the Hollywood Foreign Press. They have totally different tastes, I would guess. Anyway, you have a lot of bigger budget foreign films typically in the Golden Globe category and some more indie kind of films for the Oscar for Best Foreign Film. I mean, The Square is a confrontational movie that is a satire about modern art that I think, you know, you want to see at some point if you have some patience. Loveless It's by the director of Leviathan, and Leviathan is one heck of a movie. It's abrasive, it's intense, it's in your face. It's one of the better dramas I've seen in a while.
Use abrasive, intense,
Russian,
and you haven't even gotten to First They Killed My Father.
Right, yeah, I mean, First They Killed My Father. We reviewed it in our best our Netflix that 2017 year in review. It's quite the movie. Apparently, In the Fade and A Fantastic Woman have extraordinary best actress performances in those. I don't think either will get nominated for Oscar at the end of the day. Maybe a Fantastic Woman. I'm hearing buzz for that. So BPM is the big snub here.
You were big on BPM.
Beats per minute is winning a lot of the roll-up awards. And it's not even nominated here. That happens a lot. Like I said, in the Globes versus Oscars, and then the Oscars kind of sets it right. So
we had a conversation in our Hollywood Hot Takes last episode about what is a movie versus what is a TV show. Mm. And our touching on OJ Made in America, which won the Oscar last year for Best Documentary Film, it kind of bleeds into that, because where do you draw the line with documentaries these days? You know, I mean, is a miniseries a documentary? Could The Keepers be nominated for something like this? Or are they strictly a TV show? It's an interesting...
I just started watching Five Came Back, which is...
Right.
If you're a movie buff, sorry I'm gushing, but I'm loving the first couple episodes. It is right up our alley. We got to watch that. But yeah, I mean, it's a basically 5-hour documentary.
Right. And that's the same question. Where's the line drawn? And I don't know that there is one, just like there isn't one for saying which actor goes in which category for these awards purposes. But here we are. We'll move on to Best Motion Picture Animated Version. We have The Boss Baby, or Alec Baldwin's What I Learned from Stewie Griffin.
Are we really going to have to watch The Boss Baby for this Oscar ramp up here?
The breadwinner, Coco, nominated, not ironically the first half hour of what you see in the theater of Coco, which was the short film of Frozen that nobody asked for and Disney eventually pulled.
But every kid's got to love it, no?
I would think, but I'm not four anymore, so I can't really give a first-person perspective of that. Ferdinand, also nominated, so if you ever wanted to see what John Cena Ferdinand as a bull was.
Over the next 3 months, I have to watch Boss Baby and Ferdinand. Boss Baby's on Netflix. Ferdinand, I have no idea.
Loving Vincent was the final nominee there for the animated Golden Globe.
Which I did see a boring but spectacular-looking 80 minutes. This entire film is shot with oil paintings.
It is getting so much critical acclaim.
The story sucks. It freaking sucks. It's boring, even though it's kind of cool to watch. They do like a Waking Life thing, Richard Linklater thing, where they paint over these actual actors' performances. That has a novelty to it that lasts maybe 10 minutes. But
yeah, but I mean, novelty alone, when you're going up against a knockoff Stewie Griffin or a John Cena is a bull, you'd think it might be the leader.
I think if you're an art historian, or you'll really love this. If you're an art enthusiast, if you're a Van Gogh enthusiast, you'll love this more than I did. I was bored by the story, but there's no denying the look of this movie. It just blows your mind.
Also, some big snubs in this category of stuff we both liked. Lego Batman, not nominated.
Lego Batman's a fun movie. I don't know if that's just the most palatable for our taste, because we're old, grumpy men.
It's the best movie to watch on LSD of these nominees, I think. It's the colors in that movie alone.
Funny to us. Yeah. If you're not prone to seizures, it's a fun movie. Yeah. And I can't believe Boss Baby over Lego Batman, Ferdinand over Lego Batman. I don't know. I'm not an authority in this category, but...
It's exactly what we are.
Well, we don't have the Pixar juggernaut that is... Well, I mean, you don't have multiple Pixar juggernauts, let's say. I think Coco is going to win this category going away. It would be an upset if The Breadwinner or Loving Vincent took it. But
do you think the people at Pixar even get excited for nominations anymore? I mean, they win, it seems, every time they put out a product.
Yeah, I mean, like, didn't Cars 2 win a couple years back?
I'll support it even though I don't remember. But yeah, it definitely did.
I like the Cars like the least of them. Like Pixar movies, but
then you're gonna love Cars 5, our new sponsor. No.
I wish. I love Cars. Vroom vroom.
All right, we'll go to the next category. As Mike said, the lead actor and lead actress categories. There's only one category each
at the
Academy Awards, the Golden Globes. They give us one category for lead actor in a comedy or musical, one category for lead actor in a drama. So we're going to take those lead actor categories in mass, in total, the Golden Globes. We'll start with the musical or comedy nominees for lead actor first. Steve Carell for Battle of the Sexes. Ansel Elgort for Baby Driver.
The shocker.
Mike couldn't be happier. James Franco for The Disaster Artist. Hugh Jackman for The Greatest Showman. And Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out.
Kumail Nanjiani, the big snub there, I would say.
Yeah, tell me about it. I mean, big snub, big sick. Ansel Elgort nominated, Steve Carell nominated. Both performances we had in episode one of our summer movie review up to that point, we liked both of those guys in their roles.
We did. I mean, I love Baby Driver. It's one of my favorites on the year. We also pumped Daniel Kaluuya up before it was trendy to do so.
That's right. I'm pretty proud of us. Totally worthy. Yes. James Franco, continuing the tradition of that when an actor goes ugly in either an appearance or an accent, they get the nominee. So that's
nice to see. Stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll have the first Oscar sprint episode. We'll be dealing with The Disaster Artist. Be on the lookout for that very shortly. Let's go to the lead actor nominees for best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama. We have Timothy Chalamet in Call Me By Your Name, Daniel Day-Lewis for The Phantom Thread, Tom Hanks for The Post, Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour, Denzel Washington for Roman J. Israel Esquire.
So like,
hey, Timmy Chalamet.
Yeah, Mount Timothy Chalamet and Mount Rushmore.
Hope the moment isn't too big for you, kid.
It's crazy.
Chalamet's the performer that's getting all the love from all the critics' awards.
Yes, he's mopping up at the Critics Awards. Jake Gyllenhaal, the big snub there for Stronger.
Who was the guy? For as much credit as we'll take for turning you on to the Carell and the Ansel Elgort performance, we'll take as much blame because both of us thought there was a shoo-in that he would get at least a nomination at the Oscars for lead actor. Still may, but nowhere to be found on the Globe site.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Hanks in The Post really coming on strong in its late arrival.
That's going to be out around Christmas, so that's going to be...
Yeah, I would say that maybe that performance bumped Gyllenhaal out of this, you know, his standing as one of the five. Not a good omen for him being in the best actor Oscar because it goes from 10 down to 5.
What's interesting to me is that the lead actor category as a whole in terms of the Oscars was supposed to have been sewn up months ago, right? I mean, right. Everybody and their mother had Gary Oldman for The Darkest Hour winning this category at a runaway. Mm-hmm. But up to this point, he's only won one notable Critics Award, and it was the New York Film Critics Online Award. He got it for Best Actor. Chalamet, as I said, has won two other ones. There's been a Daniel Kaluuya win in there. I mean, you're getting to a point where this, you know, the sure thing is turning into the supporting actor category, not so much the lead actor category.
Gary Oldman supposedly liked the Daniel Day-Lewis Lincoln performance in Darkest Hour, and it's just an absolute unstoppable juggernaut. Yeah, it's not panning out that way. But we have seen this before. We're an Oscar winner, even though it's not to the level of publicity, we have seen an Oscar winner not win anything leading up to the Oscars. So we've seen that.
It's a rarity, but yeah, it doesn't happen more than it does happen.
Right.
We'll go from the actors, we'll go to the actresses, the leading ladies. Best performance by an actress in motion picture, musical, or comedy. We have Dame Judi Dench for Victoria and Abdul, Helen Mirren for The Leisure Seeker, Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird, Emma Stone for Battle of the Sexes. So the two leads in Battle of the Sexes, both getting nominees. We've touched on in prior pods the issues we have with the Emma Stone character of Billie Jean King and how she's portrayed as basically flawless. But
it's also a character that's not funny in the least. So Emma Stone's performance is working with an on-the-nose script. You know, we had quite a lot to say about that. I mean, her performance is subtle and nuanced and incredible in its own right. She does a great job with the tennis. She does a nice job.
It's always been my stance that her, you know, her performance in La La Land was just basically her being Emma Stone. I know you're more in love with it than I was, but I think, and I said it on the first episode we had, her performance as Billie Jean King, you know, the movie is definitely flawed, but her turn as Billie Jean King is much more showing off her talents.
She's got a world of talent. You know, she's one of my favorites, I would say. And yes, La La Land performance I thought was incredible, just showing, you know, the performance within a performance. Maybe I'm like one of those Hollywood elites with my catnip.
Nose up in the air. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, listen, I don't think there's any huge snubs in this category necessarily.
I think the contrary. Helen Mirren for The Leisure Seeker. I mean, that's her 13th Golden Globe nomination.
There was like
Judi Dench getting her 12th.
Yeah, I mean, there was like an obvious four for sure. And I think, you know, Helen Mirren pulls in at the five. There was some talk that Emma Watson could get in there for Beauty and the Beast, which I'm not sure should be not an animated movie because it's all animated. That's like the Roger Rabbit thing. It's like half animated, mostly animated, except for the human beings.
They found a talking teapot.
So that's a little strange.
Also, like, a beast.
That would be an obvious win for best animated movie if they ever changed the category requirements, I guess. But yeah, I mean, Dame Judy,
holding it down, getting a 12th Golden Globe
Helen Mirren. Margot Robbie is something that we're going to be rooting for.
You want to talk about momentum. She has it. But what she will likely be up against, we'll go over the best leading actress in a drama now. The nominees, Jessica Chastain for Molly's Game, Sally Hawkins, The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Meryl Streep for The Post, and Michelle Williams, All the Money in the World. Listen, the acting categories are just a veritable who's who of Hollywood elite.
Loaded. I mean, Sally Hawkins, McDormand, Streep, and Ronan, maybe Robbie, they're going to be undeniable.
There's five, right? There's five.
Sounds like they are undeniable.
Right,
so,
and which means you're going to be elbowing out a Dame Judi Dench. You're going to be elbowing out a Helen Mirren.
Even a Jessica Chastain performance.
Yeah, this is a loaded year for big-name actors and actresses, and I'm glad we started the podcast on this year. It's just a happy coincidence, but I mean, the Oscars are going to mean something this year, and it's going to be a lot of the red carpet is going to have some names,
some snubs in the drama category, if you can call it that. I think Annette Bening was being looked upon for Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool. Kate Winslet for Wonder Wheel has been up there. Brooklyn Prince for the Florida Project. I think we're a little bummed that Jennifer Lawrence and Mother hasn't gained any traction.
Disgusted.
In the Fades, Diane Kruger, best foreign film at the Globes. She has gotten a lot of publicity for her. And, I mean, look, Feinberg has Michelle Williams all the way at the bottom of his latest list, even though it's still to come. So she really wasn't on the radar.
Yeah, she snuck in. She was the seems like they needed a fifth. And All the Money in the World is getting some depth from the Golden Globes nominees because of what they pulled off. And
is it legit, or tourist from however many years ago that was?
These are the questions, you never know. We're going to find out come Christmas time. December 22nd, I believe that one goes wide. A note, Sally Hawkins might be the favorite. She's getting the momentum, a lot of momentum going her way, winning the award for the LA Film Critics Association, Boston Screen Film Critics Association, and the Chicago Film Critics Association. She's a nominee. Those just came out.
I will say Frances McDormand just feels like a winner to me. That one was just blow my mind.
You hit on it, but there are five performances thus far anyway that, you're going to be shocked if one of them's left out of the Oscar race there.
Yeah, those big five. Again, that's Sally Hawkins, Frances McDormand, Meryl Streep, Margot Robbie, and of course, Saoirse Ronan. Those are big.
Those names, and then you have like Hawkins, Ronan, who's been nominated, but is still a young kid, and Chalamet for the actor, and look who they're up against. They're up against the Mount Rushmores of current thespianism. it's going to be, old meets new. I'm excited.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to break it down as we go.
Bring us the best director of motion picture. Again, only one category for the Globes for this, as there is in the Oscars. Steven Spielberg for The Post. Ridley Scott for All the Money in the World. Tell me if you've heard this before. Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk. Martin McDonough for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. And Guillermo del Toro, The Shape of Water.
Now, I'm not making any accusations here, but Steven Spielberg's the only American director in that group. The Hollywood Foreign Press chose 4 out of 5, foreign-born directors there.
I'm fine with that. I'm
not fine with Jordan Peele being left out.
I am very not fine with that.
Ridley Scott. So there's some big names off.
How can you omit Jordan Peele? I mean, basically all Get Out has in terms of Golden Globes is the Kaluuya in a comedy or musical performance, and the screenplay performance. That's it. I mean,
and again, they kind of went bigger names in this category. Like Luca Guadagnino, I botched that name, is getting a ton of awards up till now. You have...
I just refuse to believe. I mean, the biggest thing in Hollywood prior to this year, the big movement this year is the Me Too movement, the sexual assault movement. Our Hollywood Hot Takes cover our in-depth thoughts on both of those. You're going to want to check those out. We have a lot to say. It's very important, and it's going to make the world a better place, as difficult and awful as it is to get through. Prior to those movements, the big movements in Hollywood was Hashtag Oscars so white, because you had years and years of these white people with, you know, no minorities in these races, no minorities nominated. You have this film come along that is spectacularly written, spectacularly executed, directed to a T.
Yeah, it's just like, don't screw this up. Like, how do you screw that up?
And you drop the ball on it. We gush over it more in our first episode as well, but our theme, a running theme throughout Mike and Oscar history so far has been, Get Out needs to be nominated everywhere it can be nominated.
Yeah, and I'm going to be surprised that Greta Gerwig not getting...
not a single female.
Publicity for... Or not getting nominated for...
Not a single female.
Sean Baker's been all over the
map,
too.
You would think Greta Gerwig... would be the most likely name. I've already seen some fallout of outrage for no woman being nominated here. I would imagine the Academy won't make the same mistake, because it's a true point. You can't have... I mean, when you have a year where Greta Gerwig does something like Lady Bird, which is as revered and as beloved, I mean, it's 90-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes. It's an 8-point-something, I believe, on IMDb. Feinberg loves it. I mean, all the experts love it. You would think the Academy is going to learn from the Golden Globes mistakes here and give it a nomination.
I would honestly be surprised to see McDonough or Ridley Scott at the end of the day. I think Greta Gerwig, and then, you know, pick either Baker or Peel or Guadagnino. They feel more like best director Oscar nominees to me.
I would love it. I mean, if the Academy fixes the wrongs here and gets both Peel and Gerwig in, I would be ecstatic.
Yeah, it seems like an easy decision. I'll be surprised if Gerwig doesn't get either screenplay or...
I'd like to see both. Yeah. I'd like to see Gerwig get both, and I'd like to see Peele get both. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So that'll bring us to the best motion picture, musical, or comedy. Again, we're going to cover these like we did the lead actor and lead actress. There are 5 nominations, best motion picture, musical, or comedy. 5 nominations, best motion picture, drama. Mike, give us the nominees. Let's start with the comedy.
The Disaster Artist, Get Out, The Greatest Showman, I, Tanya, and Lady Bird. Big snub there, Mike.
Listen, Greatest Showman better blow my balls off, okay? Because that's where the Big Sick belongs. And it makes me sick to my stomach, no pun intended, that Big Sick was my highest rated film on our number one, our first episode we did. I had it as the leader in the clubhouse for Best Picture.
Changed an entire genre for Mike.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's a like the perfect rom-com. And no, we have Wolverine running a carnival instead.
So. Ebenezer Scrooge style, your heart was hardened.
Oh, man.
You never thought you could love again.
The ghosts of Kumail Nanjiani past
saw the Big
coming
Sick
to visit me. Holly Hunter getting a snub. Big Sick getting a snub.
I mean, do you think it's as simple as The Greatest Showman was the only barely qualifiable musical in the bunch, and they didn't want to nominate 5 comedies? I mean, I guess we got to see. We haven't seen The Greatest
didn't
Showman.
Didn't you hear singing when you saw The Disaster Artist, or was that just me? Was that the LSD that I was forced to take prior to seeing? No, you're right. I mean, probably.
Circus music?
Yeah. Probably. I mean, it is the only musical that could be nominated, I guess. There wasn't a big year for musicals. But musicals just had their whole year last year, you know? You had one of the best modern musicals of all time, Changed the Game. It got every award, got every merit that it should have and it deserved. And, no, now we got to be stuck with Hugh Jackman, Greatest Showman, over The Big Sick.
Which would be great.
The Greatest Showman may be a great movie. I have yet to see it. Yeah. We're going to have an Oscar sprint episode on it. But
we hate it anyway.
It's not better than The Big Sick.
So the best motion picture drama nominees are Call Me By Your Name, Dunkirk, The Post, The Shape of Water, 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Kind of chalk there.
I have said it multiple times throughout this podcast. Loaded category. Right. Loaded category.
I mean, the Florida Project is probably the only one that really
has a gripe. Yeah.
Has a gripe about getting snubbed there. It's close. Those 5 are super duper strong. I'm glad we didn't see All the Money in the World and that build up. But just to give you a quick crossover on AFI and the Critics' Choice, you know, AFI had Wonder Woman and Big Sick, as opposed to this top 10, which had Greatest Showman and The Disaster Artist. Critics' Choice had Darkest Hour and The Big Sick.
Going to be very interesting to see what happens with Darkest Hour overall. Right. I mean, you know, you figure Oldman's going to get the nomination for Best Actor at the Oscars, which is rightfully so. Going to be interesting to see how they handle the screenplay. Going to be interesting to see how they handle the overall best picture chances. I'm very curious to see The Disaster, or the Disaster Artist.
Disaster Hour.
Yeah, The Disaster Hour. The Darkest Hour. A couple stats to see you how predictive and how well the Golden Globe has done, Golden Globes have done over the years in terms of
nobes.
Yeah, in terms of predicting Oscar nominations. Since 2010, which was the year that covered the 2009 awards, when the Academy expanded the maximum possible Best Picture nominees to 10, there have only been 4 movies nominated in the Best Picture Drama category at the Golden Globes that did not receive a Best Picture nomination at the Oscars. Those movies are, in 2015, Carol was nominated, not nominated at the Oscars. 2014, Foxcatcher, which I thought should have been nominated at the Oscars.
Was nominated for Best Director, yeah. Weirdly enough.
Didn't make the cut. Rush in 2013, a Ron Howard production, the F1 race starring Thor.
Yeah, that was I didn't love that movie.
And how about The Ides of March in 2011?
I really liked that one.
I did too. It's a guilty pleasure. Anytime two good-looking guys like Gosling and Clooney want to go head-to-head.
Handsome contest.
Yeah. But no. Those are the four that didn't make it. However, on the opposite side, the opposite
just like
view.
This table right now. Just a handsome contest.
Over the same time span. So again, we're talking since 2010, the last 7 or so years, there have only been 12 out of 35 films nominated for Best Picture, Comedy, and Musical at the Globes that did, in fact, receive Best Picture nominations at the Oscars. So we're talking about a third of the movies.
But we do have an Oscars that is a bit bigoted towards comedies. They've always have, always probably will be. You know, you say that on the one hand, and then you argued. But then again, the wrong comedies get nominated for the Globes, so that we don't really care.
Right. I mean, it's tough out there. I mean, the Golden Globes overall nominations this year, they tried really hard to like be inclusive of minorities and of women but they dropped the ball in some glaring areas, such as Best Director, which we touched on, such as Jordan Peele, which we touched on, that are just seemed like layups, really. And but you know, let's go back to talk about my one last point I wanted to make about the Best Picture race. Biggest part of award season so far is that none of the major awards that have been giving out the Film Critics Association Awards, have had the same winner for Best Picture. The LA Film Critics Association had Call Me By Your Name. The runner-up was The Florida Project. New York's Film Critics Circle had Lady Bird as their Best Picture winner. Boston Screen Film Critics had Phantom Thread. New York's Film Critics Online had Mudbound and Florida Project tied for Best Picture. So Florida Project doesn't even make the cut at the Golden Globes for Best Picture. So we're...
It is shaping up to be quite the race, absolutely.
This is going to be a big year for awards, big year for our awards, the Oscars that we're going to touch on. But those are the nominations. Those are your Golden Globe nominations for 2017. As the date gets closer, we'll probably have some predictions for you because everyone does. We don't love doing predictions because we're just two guys.
Yeah, we're not great at it. We're not going to get into projection business so much. But it's interesting, you know, I think we're, you know, building some rapport with you guys on terms of our analyses. And I think we started this episode with TV, and it's interesting to note, just kind of a sweeping hot take here, it's interesting to note how TV is so directed towards your personal taste, right? I mean, you watch a handful of TV shows every few months, really, in whatever's in your wheelhouse, your personal taste. That's the way music has always been. That's the way, you know, novels, when you read novels, a
lot of Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to seek out what is kind of your taste. And yes, you'll branch out at times. It's interesting to have these objective award shows like the Golden Globes have so many different nominations, and it's really vast. The movie award shows are getting that way ever since it went to 10. I think the Academy had a sixth sense for the way the industry was going. You got Netflix putting a lot of indie stuff out there directed to very particular taste. You have a lot of niche genres that have grown in their following. So you have something like Get Out, even have a chance, a horror comedy, even with a chance at a Best Oscar nomination. So we got all those weird theories and reading between the lines for you to come.
Yeah,
I think that's just the taste.
It feels like it's much more wide open this year than it has been in years past. I mean, usually by this time, by December, end of the year, year in review stuff, you're starting to see two or three pictures that are going to be the Best Picture favorites, right?
Right.
I don't think we have that yet. We have six probably legitimate Best Picture possibilities. 6-7 I mean,
because everybody's taste at, you know, for LA has a certain taste. Your point is well taken.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we don't have the Crash versus Brokeback Mountain forming. We don't have the Social Network versus the King's Speech forming.
Titanic,
you know,
versus LA Confidential. Yeah, we don't episode have 2. I think we published. I think we've talked about all our previous episodes.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year. Last thing,
that's
we
my
want,
singing voice, by the way.
Yeah, that's why he's nominated for Best Original Song. That was our entry. Last thing we want to touch on before we leave you guys today, we've heard us refer to these Oscar sprint episodes throughout this and previous episodes. That's what's on the horizon. We're going to be giving you what we call our Oscar sprint profiles. We're going to give you these self-serving, these one-take episodes having to do with the pictures that are most likely to be nominated come Oscar night. So we're going to do a lot of the stuff that we talked about here at the Golden Globes. They're going to get their own episode. The first Oscar sprint profile you're going to have at your disposal is going to be one of the disaster artists, which just came out last week. It's nominated for a couple of Golden Globes. It's been all over the critics' nomination circles. We're going to have it's about a 50-minute, one-hour episode, as all these will be, talking about the ins and outs of the performances, the directorial choices, the
deep dive. Yeah,
it's a deep dive into that movie.
Indication of spoilers.
Yeah.
At the end,
it's a
spoilers early.
Spoiler section, a non-spoiler section. It's to prepare you. It's something that you could listen to before you see the movie, then come back to it and listen to the spoiler section after. You can watch the movie first, then take the whole thing in mass. If you agree with us, if you disagree with us, like we keep telling you every episode, sincerely, we'd love to hear it. We want to know where you think we're wrong. We want to know where you think we are right, if that's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to develop a backlog of episodes where you can kind of approach it as like an on-demand, you know, we got a big list of episodes and any movie that you might want to see in theaters, video on demand on Netflix or Amazon that you're curious about watching, maybe during your day, before your night where you can watch that movie, during your day, you're going to listen to a podcast about it, or while on the elliptical, listen to a podcast about it. Getting snowed in here in the wintry weather, listen to, you know, 20 minutes to 30 minutes of our non-spoiler section on the pod that of the movie that you might be interested in. And I don't think you have to listen to them in any particular order, but if
you better listen to them in order.
No, if you do, we're going to be releasing these episodes where we can in a timely fashion to time up with the releases going wide in theaters. I think that we're going to try to do that, you know, when a movie comes out. Video on demand will save some that we've already missed in terms of the timing of the theatrical release. We'll save those till the end of January when they're starting to get released in video on demand, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so, like we said, Disaster Artist just came out last week. That episode is going to be available to you this week. Star Wars comes out this weekend. We're going to hopefully get an Oscar sprint profile for you.
That's one
week.
Of those that's just kind of a movie event that we have to cover.
Not nominated anywhere,
but we have
nudging
Mike
to,
about it. I'm a little giddy about
I'm
it.
Not happy about this. No, I'm just kidding. It is. I mean,
I can't wait.
The big ones that are coming out, the iTanyas, the All the Money in the Worlds, we're going to get you a self-sustained one episode shot. Got a deep dive at your disposal. Hopefully you can check it out. Tell your friends. If you know any cinephiles, any big movie people in your life, we do this for you guys. We're hoping we put out something that you find value in and you can be entertained by for about an hour or so, because like Mike said at the top, and we always say at the end of every episode, reality sucks. So why not just sit back, watch some movies with us, maybe argue with us. You can reach us. We are Mike and Oscar on Facebook. We are Mike and Oscar. I should say that again. We are Mike and Oscar on Instagram. We are MMO_pod on Twitter. Mike and Oscar@gmail.com is our email if you want to reach out to us that way.
You take a breather from the shitstorm that is the national media. Take a breather from the nor'easters that are coming our way.
Yeah, man. We don't do politics. We try to keep this politics free. We try to keep this, you know.
We try, but yeah, we mostly do.
Yeah, we try to keep it as light and entertaining as we can, because I mean, to both of us, the world needs it, frankly. But we're also just two guys in a basement with some pretty new audio equipment.
That's entertainment. I want to sing, but I'm not going to do it. I want to sing.
Just do it. Give me a couple bars.
That's entertainment.
There we go. Beautiful.
Sued.
All right, guys. So check out the Oscar sprint profiles. Keep an eye out for us. We're going to be releasing episodes, multiple episodes a week. And like Mike said, we're going to try to get every Oscar sprint profile done before the Academy Awards are announced, which is sometime in January coming up. So we've got a big couple weeks ahead of us. stay in the loop. Stay with us.
Yeah, listen up.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining. We'll see you soon.